Your name, please?
Eugene O'Neill.
And your occupation and position?
I'm president of General Grocer Company of St. Louis and also vice chairman of the St. Louis Better Business Bureau.
Mr. O'Neill, do you feel that the small businessman can continue to survive in this age of bigness?
My viewpoint is that he very definitely can, and in fact is doing so in a very exciting way, particularly in our industry.
This is Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with Eugene M. O'Neill, who will reveal to you what he holds to be the responsibilities of his position in life. Produced by the Episcopal Church and brought to you as a public service by this station. Mr. Kennedy's guest today is Eugene M. O'Neill, president of the General Grocer Company and vice chairman of the St. Louis Better Business Bureau. Here is the moderator of the award-winning series, Viewpoint, the Reverend Dana F. Kennedy. Mr. Kennedy.
Welcome to Viewpoint, Mr. Eugene O'Neill. What is the danger to the small businessman in this new age of bigness, big government, big business, etc.?
I think his only danger is being afraid to take action. I think the businessman today has many, many opportunities to use the services that are needed to make him competitive with big firms, and this is particularly true in the supermarket business. So I think his main concern should be not to be defeatist, but to know that services are available, friends are available that can help him compete and outperform big competition.
What are some of the assets of the bigness?
Well, automation today is touching every business, and it's touched the food business very definitely. You cannot efficiently distribute food unless you're distributing it in volume. Today's supermarket is, I think, an example of bigness relative to the size of food outlets a decade or two ago. I think that's a good example of lowering the price to the consumer and in result in improving of the standard of living through bigness.
What is the harm to bigness?
I think the danger in bigness, as we see it in our industry, is the removal of the people making the decision from the consumer, from the firing line. And this is one of the reasons we think the independent retailer today has a great advantage if he can pull the assets of bigness into play for himself and still keep in touch with the public, the consumer, the people who, in the final answer, dictate business.
How can you keep a personal relationship when you have a big organization functioning for you?
Well, this is communications, and it's very difficult. Excuse again a reference to our industry, but in supermarketing, one of the reasons that the independent affiliated retailers are growing faster than the national chains is that the independent can, in his own store, with his own individual initiative, with the tools of bigness supplied to him by his friends and suppliers, he can stay in touch in his one store and do an outstanding job. And this is one of the things we like about our business.
Do people, when they go into businesses now, hope, like the Horatio Alger stories, to rise to the top?
We certainly hope so. We have example after example in our industry of men who started out with a small neighborhood, you can almost say delicatessen, and developed it in a few short years into a number of stores that we would call a local chain. We think very definitely this opportunity exists, and I think is one of the bulwarks of the country.
How much responsibility do businesses have for the advertising of their products?
100% is the only way I can answer that. No one else controls the advertising except the firm that's doing the advertising. This is a very important subject, and in the food business, we think there's relatively little problem about this. The reason for that, in our opinion, is that the housewife buys food three times a week, every week, more or less, and she cannot be fooled very long. You might fool a person on an automobile because they buy one every 3 or 4 years, but when a housewife, who is a very sharp gal, as buying food as often as she is, you cannot continue to fool her. So the best and obvious course of action is not to try to fool her, to be believable, to be honest, and I think generally this is true in the food business.
As you look forward into the future, do you think that the grocery store of 10 years from now will be different from the supermarket of today?
I'm sure that it will be, just as today's is different than the supermarket of 10 years ago. There will be, in our opinion, even more merchandise available, not less. The number of items available in a supermarket is going to increase as manufacturers learn new and interesting ways to offer their products. We think that services will become important in supermarket. We know of one supermarket operator who offers the service of preparing copies of letters or any other documents you might want in his store because it's a focal point for the consumer to come to. We think that there will be an increase in the number of products and services, and with that, more automation, faster checkouts.
Is the cost of groceries going down or going up compared to the past?
Well, it's going down, and very dramatically. As a matter of fact, in 1963, only 19% of all after-tax consumable dollars was used in this country by consumers to purchase all their food needs. Now, this compares to 26% in the year 1947, and it compares to 50% in Russia, and higher percentages, of course, in Africa and more backward countries. But today, we're only spending 19% of our after-tax consumable dollars for total food requirements. It's an astounding record, and one which is getting some publicity now.
Are people eating better today than they did 10 years ago?
Very definitely. Nutritional standards have become very well known. Refrigeration processes, many factors have raised the standards of food higher than they've ever been, and I'm sure this is one of the reasons why your son's probably even taller than you.
Do you look forward to new inventions which will make it even easier for the housewife in the preparation of her foods?
Well, we do, although as a distributor, we more or less leave that to the manufacturer of the product. The manufacturers have research departments of real substance that are doing this, and I think it's a wonderful thing because it's going to allow the women of this country more time to do things other than prepare foods.
Do you find from your personal experience that the women want to have more and more assistance this way, or do they want to have certain things left for them to do?
Well, that's a good psychological question. I think that the answer is yes and no. I think there are times when the woman of the country would like to be able to prepare a meal quickly, and there are times when they would like to be able to use their creative abilities and create something from the more basic materials. So I think the answer is yes and no.
Give them a choice.
Right.
Why have the Better Business Bureaus been established?
The bureaus have been established in an effort to bring about a high degree of self-regulation on the part of businessmen. It has been learned over many, many years that the best regulation is self-regulation. The bureaus are the instrument of self-regulation. The bureau is a nonprofit organization made up only of merchants in the given community. These men band together to make certain that the best possible ethics are followed in advertising, and I think if there's a single purpose, that would be it.
Do you think that most business people are honest?
Yes.
Do you think that most people, most consumers are honest?
Yes.
Why do you feel this way?
Because I just have a deep-seated conviction that people are basically this way. And then secondly, those that, for any reason that might be off the straight and narrow for a short time, find that so extremely difficult in many, many ways that I'm sure that the chances of them becoming completely honest citizens is very definite.
Do you find that the faith of the people that you know who are in your particular field of work has anything to do with their daily business?
We do have come to mind certain individuals who have a deeper spiritual basis, and there's no question about it. Where that's been observed by ourselves, there's a bigger contribution to the organization, to the business firm, to the community where that exists.
Mr. O'Neill, do you feel that the employers have certain responsibilities which they feel towards the people they employ, say in the matter of training them, in the matter of taking a personal interest in them, in the matter of giving them some insight into what their service is to be within the organization?
Very definitely. It would be impossible today, and perhaps it's always been impossible, but it is today, to be effective in developing an organization if a lot of attention isn't given to the people. In our business, people, we say, make the difference. And our entire emphasis is on people, the kind we recruit, the training we give them, the opportunity for personal development. This is really the building of an organization.
As you look at the younger people coming up, do you have any particular feelings as how you would like them to feel about business?
This is a real concern of ours. For instance, have noted recently that the word profit is sometimes treated as a bad word, and yet it is profit which has built our entire country. Profit is an honorable goal, a very worthwhile and necessary goal. We're concerned about the children in school having a proper perspective on the role of profit-making free enterprise.
Do you mean that profit and service are linked together?
Well, of course, one of the best ways to make a profit is to provide a service. If you don't provide a service that is needed, you're not going to make a profit very long. So, my concern about the school children, the younger generation, is that they do not have as full a background in the matter of marketing, economics, free enterprise, as I'd like to see them have.
Do you think that this system serves the individual better than any other system?
It's been proven so, and I certainly would subscribe to that.
What are the satisfactions, Mr. O'Neill, which you get from your work?
Well, the greatest thing about my job is that I spend most of my time working with individual retailers who want to develop a business, become an important part of their community, and we help them by supplying them many of the tools, many of the assets of the big company, so that they can compete with the big firms and grow and prosper. And so we're helping these people develop to the maximum, and it is a real thrill to be able to do that.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eugene O'Neill, for being with us and for giving us your viewpoint.
This has been Viewpoint, an unrehearsed and personal interview with Eugene M. O'Neill, produced as a public service by the Division of Radio and Television of the Episcopal Church. Today's guest was Eugene M. O'Neill, president of the General Grocer Company and vice chairman of the St. Louis Better Business Bureau.